podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock.
Come on, Tottenham.
Hello, welcome to the Fighting Cock podcast. Thought we'd better do another one because all the Tottenham stuff that's happening. Loads of Spurs stuff. Actually, T. We haven't signed anyone in about 6 days, and I'm fucking fuming.
I'm raging here. I mean,
when are we going to sign another one?
I mean, I think you did a tweet about all these happy Inter Milan players. It's not on.
Spook. It's not on. Why are they all so bloody happy?
I don't know whether they are. I mean, when you're happy, you don't go around telling people that you're happy. Do you know what I'm saying? You just get on with shit.
And what are they doing then?
I don't know. I think they're kind of silently begging. They're living lives of quiet desperation, waiting for Conte and Paratici to.
I wish that was true. I wish it was true, but the fact is, Bastos is basically saying, I don't really want to go. Someone did tweet me when they said, don't worry, this is a ploy. Italian clubs don't like it when players want to leave their club. Bastoni's been there for a long, long time. He's never going to say, I want to leave this football club. He won't say it. So he's just saying, I want to stay. But really deep down, he hates Inter Milan. And he hates their fans and he wants to come to Spurs. Any truth in that, T?
I mean, what do you think the worst thing the Archers would do? Do you think they'd kidnap his family? I mean, what do you think they'd do
think
if he said he wanted to leave?
Yeah, I think they're capable of it, yeah. I mean, do you remember, what did they do with Icardi?
I can't remember.
They were sort of outside his house. They was outside his house with, like, placards saying, like, death to Icardi or something like that. I'm butchering this. There is truth in what I'm saying, but I can't remember the exact details. And he went, they don't know where I'm from, right? I'm from Argentina. Where I am from, the people will eat these ultras. Something along those lines. Because there's nothing they can do to scare them.
Their ultras are absolutely brutal. Wasn't there that story where they crashed a boardroom meeting? Am I just making shit up now? Stereotyping
Brazilians and Argentines. I mean, it's not the end of the world, is it? There's worse things happening in the world. But let's just continue stereotyping for a while because this is entertaining. I seem to remember them. They're making a manager got appointed at some point. I think this might have been in Italy, actually. Manager got appointed, and the ultras were so unhappy with the disappointment who they brought in. They went into the press conference, picked him up and carried him out of the stadium and put him outside.
That rings a bell, actually.
So
I want to say it's Gattuso.
Do you ever wonder, like the difference in culture, like is it's so mammoth, like, between, like, if that happened in England,
it'd be front page news.
Yeah, I mean, you're literally kidnapping someone.
He's kidnapped.
It happens in Italy or South America. It's like,
you just have a little chuckle about it.
Yeah, it's like nothing. It's just like no relevance to. They just get on with it after it happens.
There are different the ultras and fans in different. There are different breeding in different countries. Like there was that one about the two heads of the two firms ended up in one of them sexually assaulting the other one as a form
I knew this
of power.
Was coming, the graveyard.
The graveyard sexual assault. I don't want to say the word. It just feels a bit icky to say. But yeah. Like this, it means it's actually a bit sad. Like football on that level, liking football on that level, is something wrong with you, isn't it?
It is a bit hashtag grown men, isn't it?
Yeah. So I, you can understand because there is a lot of that in Italy that Bastoni might be going. Oh, you know, I want to go Spurs, but I don't want that. I don't want that shit to happen.
The thing that worries me is. It's not really a concern because we've been here so many times before, but there's no doubt that one or two of the signings that we really, really want, the longer that we persist with them, that when there's a chance, the closer we get to the start of the season, which goes against this kind of new philosophy of getting things done really quickly, getting Conte's team and squad ready for pre-season training. Not every single signing will be made before pre-season. Possibly, but there's still that kind of little, you know, how long are we going to wait for certain players? And when are we just going to bite the bullet and just bring someone in because we know guaranteed we can bring that person in? So not for me to worry about. That's up to the club to sort out. But there's still that little bit of anxiousness around it.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not sure that'll ever go. But can get a little bit sort of tiring is the fact that we're spending so much time reading stories about Spurs' movements that you're absolutely, I'm not sure I believe any of them anymore. I don't, like, there's Indica, there is Bastoni, there's Pau Torres, there's Bremer, there is, I can't pronounce the other one's name, Gvardiol?
Yeah.
Gvardiol, sorry. That's five that we've been linked with. And I don't know. I don't think we were close at any point to any of them. I don't know.
Well, apparently, we haven't even made a bid for Spence. Like the story initially was that he was practically about to sign, and then since then we get the same story every few days that Spurs definitely want him, but Borough have not received a bid, and that basically gets churned out every few days. And you see it with the Ericsson stuff as well. He has been making his decision. Or he's going to give his decision within 2 weeks. I've been hearing that for a month, and it's.
The rumor around him is that we're not in for him. We don't want him.
Supposedly, yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that, T?
It's a bit disappointing. I really, really like the guy, but you thought that there's a bigger name in the chamber if he's not to join. He's still quite young, but. I think we're addressing weak areas. You know, there's rumours that we're listening to offers for Emerson Royale. So, yeah, it's. But as you said, I mean, these rumours change from week to week. I mean, if you invest in them wholeheartedly, then you'll give yourself heart failure.
I want everyone that we're linked with. I want them immediately. That's the way my brain works. I
don't want it to be like, you know, when you're trying to park your car coming in for work and your space is taken because you didn't get in early enough. It's too many players. You've got to park in a residential street, mate. You know what I mean? You've got to go on Ringo and just pay for the whole day.
I'm terrible for it. Like, there was a time where Alex made up that we were going to sign De Jong and... But as soon as I read him and said De Jong is the mystery player that we've been working on, I'm like, I want him desperately. Hadn't even thought about him joining Spurs before that point. He mentions Frankie De Jong, and I'm like, yeah, he's exactly what we need. Yeah, definitely get him in. When you know, you're talking about that attacking midfielder, or we need that midfielder who can pass, this seems to be the narrative that's constantly being perpetuated now, even by our own Spurs fans. Like there was a question we got asked... it was on one of our Patreon, the transfer touch-up we do on behind the paywall on Patreon. And the question was... what the fuck was it? It was, Basuma is a really good sign-in, but with Skip and Bentancur and Højbjerg there already, is this the sort of expansive, aggressive, forward-thinking footballer that we need? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, actually, didn't he... Conte likes quite a rigid, strong midfield rather than having that... His creativity comes down the wing. I mean, Eriksen didn't even play significant parts of Conte's... Well, he certainly wasn't his first-choice midfielder. He had Brozovic and Barella were these kind of guys in midfield, neither of which are in the Eriksen mould. So I wondered... I wonder if he even looks at him and thinks, actually, given the fact we need centre-backs and we need a right wing-back, that Eriksen is the guy that we even... But it seems mad on a free, isn't it? You could just sit on the bench and bring him on when we need him.
Sorry, go on, T.
I think Basuma's a bit of a Swiss Army knife of a footballer, really. He can play, he can sit deep, and he can do box-to-box as well. We have to put him in a bit of a box where he can't pass ball and he's not that creative. I mean, he's not been... I think he'll do whatever's required of him. But with regards to the Eriksen thing, I mean, I think Mark touched on it in the last pod. Probably the last pod he did, saying Ken Eriksen playing a 3-4-3. Maybe not, but it's a long season, so he'll get games.
Do you know who else can go box to box?
Who's that?
Ricky's mum.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Ricky's mum goes box to box. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like on a free, it kind of feels like you're missing a trick. And if he wants to stay in London, if you believe, then why not bring him to Spurs? But he's going to, you know, that's £100,000 probably out of your transfer, out of your wages, when I'm not sure he improves us.
The thing is, this is it. I don't think he's straight into the team. I think he's someone that's something extra, you know, that you need off the bench. And what a player to have come off the bench. Someone that will hit the ground running as well. He doesn't need to bed into Tottenham. I think that's the appealing thing about Spurs. They get enough games in preparation for, you know, the World Cup and the rest of it. However, if you believe the rumours and the stories, and again, it's just, you know, a pinch of salt. If it's about money, which is fair enough because it's his last big payday, then he will probably end up at Man United. Now, it might be more of a stressful responsibility that he has there because of what Man United are. Or maybe it's less stressful because they're rebuilding, and he knows their manager quite well. So I can get why in his position it could be a trickier one. Like, what does he want to do here? Does he want to go back to what he knows best, or does he want to try something new and get paid a lot more money for it? For us, I don't really want United signing him. Not that I'm that fussed about United, but I've got to be a little bit naive to think that I can just completely write him off.
According to The Guardian, Eriksen's turned down United. He doesn't want to go there. He's saying no.
Oh, when did that happen then?
2 hours ago.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, I would have missed that. I mean, if that's true, he might settle and stay in at Brentford. Do you know what I mean?
I think he owes it to Brentford.
For
giving him the opportunity back. He should do the right thing. Actually, fuck that. Fuck Brentford. He gives a shit. I just read something funny that the Sun reporting. Christian Eriksen considering Man United transfer offer, and club hope Ten Hag's relationship with the Dane will seal the move. What a weird conversation them two would have with each other, wouldn't it? Like, Eriksen's a bit odd anyway. Ten Hag, there's something desperately wrong with him. Don't know what it is. You imagine the conversation they'd have, how weird it'd be.
No eye contact at all. They're both in the same room, across the table from each other, just no eye contact, just looking at the table.
I reckon they spit on the floor inside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Don't have a damp edge of the carpet.
Don't mention it either. Don't even mention the fact they've done it. I don't know what that means. What are you going to say?
Nothing.
Doesn't matter. We've got 73 questions to get through. So, buckle in. We'll handpick them. We can't go through 73. That's insane. Alfie Chapman, he says, do we need some creativity in midfield, or is Conte generally happy? I think we talked about that, didn't we? Spurs for Life says, were Atomic Kitten underrated? Hold on, wrong Twitter. Which player? Which player that we nearly signed would have turned out to be a Spurs legend? Quick one on Atomic Kitten. Did they move UT?
Well, and I think they got rid of Kerry Katona and blew up. So, you know, yeah. You know, Hole Again is an iconic song.
She's one of my guilty ones, I've got to say.
Really?
I don't know why. Her and Priya Patel.
Jesus.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
That is grim. Yeah, they were underrated. But I think Sugar Babes are better than them.
Don't kink shame me, please.
Original Sugar Babes, yeah?
Yeah, original ones that did Overload.
Yeah, the original, yeah, exactly. That's my bit of popular culture.
Good stuff.
References.
Good stuff. What player did we miss out on that would have become a legend at Spurs?
Rivaldo?
Yeah, Rivaldo's the one that came to mind. The people new to the Fighting Cock are supporting Spurs. We nearly signed Rivaldo when he was... Rivaldo, at the time, was one of the world's best footballers, and he nearly signed. We nearly got him over the line. When would that have been? What year? Do you remember?
2002, anyway. 2003. Yeah. I think Hoddle was the manager at the time.
Yeah, Hoddle wrote him Rivaldo wrote us a letter, which is just... Like, don't fucking share
that, mate.
Sad enough, we're a bit of a meme. We were a proper meme back then. Don't. But Hoddle, it's a nice letter. Like, fuck off.
It's a nice fucking. We don't want that.
There was no social media back then, so it wasn't that bad.
Imagine what would happen now. It would be equivalent of us trying to sign. Who would you have been as good as? It would have been like someone like Mane level. Mane level.
Yeah.
Not the same player, but that kind of reputation. Is that fair? That sort of level? And then Marley going, oh, thanks for all the interest. I would love to have joined you, but I'm actually going to go and join Inter Milan or whatever it was he went to sign for.
You went to AC Milan. I'd have probably gone a bit left foot and said Arshavin. I think I did. Massive thing for him. I think Euro 2008, he had a really good competition. Then the St. Petersburg beat Rangers in that final in Manchester. And I think we got Pavlyuchenko instead and I wanted Arshavin and then Arsenal ended up getting him. I think he would have been brilliant for us, really. But, you know, shit happens. I mean, him and Modric, intelligent footballers.
Jeez. Would have been good. I don't know. There's been linked with so many players. I can't think of... I think there was a time during the 2000s that the players we lost... In the 2010s or whatever that's called. You know, when we lost sort of Modric, Carrick, Berbatov, Bale, and you just think if we held on, if they all just stayed and we built that team, we would have won the league.
Spurs have always had the individuals. Do you know what I mean? They've never had the team. The closest we came to having the team was under Pochettino in recent times.
Yeah.
And we flirted once or twice before then as well, but... You're right. We have had some proper world-class players at Tottenham. Maybe not all of them at the same times. But unfortunately, you know, football moves at a fast pace. They just don't want to hang around for a rebuild that follows a rebuild and so on.
They wouldn't have to. If they use their brains and just stayed still, they wouldn't have to fucking be a rebuild. Be a part of the revolution.
That's a good point. Just don't fucking leave.
Don't leave, you bastards. But it's a perpetual problem in every club. If everyone just sat tight, then it'll all be fine. Anyway, Lee Evans says, just how big a hole are Arsenal fans digging for themselves this summer? I respect them doubling down, but the fallout could be incredible. They've gone to new levels of odd, in my opinion. Arsenal fans, it's getting weird about it all.
I'm convinced it's a meme.
What's that, T?
I'm convinced it's a meme.
They're just trolling.
Yeah, I think it's, they're all saying the similar things. Oh, you know, we've got Jesus on one side and Richarlison on one side and Jesus on another side and Vieira doing this. All the tweets have a similar sort of format. You know, I feel like it's some sort of in-joke with football Twitter because Arsenal are quite big on football Twitter, aren't they? But it is amusing and anyone listening to this, just get your screenshots ready for when Arsenal inevitably implode.
You're giving them too much credit.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so. I think you're talking about a specific tweet that I responded to yesterday. I think you're right about that, 100%. But I think that they have gone. I think us beating them in the North London derby, we've broken them a little bit. Like every player we've signed apparently is a retirement player. When we've only signed one player hang on. The oldest player we've signed is Perisic at 33, but other than that, 25. Right. So it's not even a. It's not even a thing. So they're being super reactive. The amount of them in my mentions, or Love the Shirt mentions, to every tweet, is every single tweet. And granted, a lot I have and I've been going at Arsenal, but they're particularly weird this summer. Spook, isn't it? What, can you back me up there, or am I?
Yeah,
am I reading too much into it?
I don't disagree. It always comes back to this. Okay, right. Not to go into a TED talk, but they are. You know that something's not right with them when all they seem to want to fall back on is what they did 20 years ago and the amount of trophies they've won in their history, because it's okay for them to reference how many trophies they've won, but they use that in a way that's almost petulant. It's like, yes, Spurs are doing quite well at the minute. You know, obviously, we always finish above you in the bread and butter of the Premier League, apart from this one time where we kind of fucked it up ourselves. Yeah. But we come back to me when you've won X amount of trophies. You can't sit at the same table as me. Well, hold on. What has that got to do with the present day? We're having a conversation about the present day, about the state of both football clubs. And you've said it. I mean, everyone's probably said this and thought this. Everyone knows this.
Mm.
It's not comparable. Like, I'm not saying Arsenal are a million light years away, but the Spurs are behaving pretty much the way them lot behaved once upon a time. We have to make those steps to actually do something more tangible. But their inability to just say, yeah, do you know what? Spurs are looking good. They just cannot. They're so insecure. They've always been a little bit broken. But I think what's happened has just set them back, and which is why I don't give them any credit. A lot of the things that they say that they're saying now is to just basically allow themselves to dream a little bit, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. All football fans should be doing that. But they've always been like that. And you can look back to last season, 20 minutes against Man City, 4 minutes against Tottenham in the North London Derby. And they anchor themselves to that as proof and evidence that there's some kind of elite super team that's just a player or two away from just dominating football. But when we talk about winning the quad, we are fucking doing it with our, you know, we know what we're doing. We're taking the piss out of ourselves a little bit because we're excited. But with them, I think it's, for the most part, very straight-laced. But it's the stuff that the bloggers are doing where they kind of try and analyse
absolute
and compare
nonce.
The teams.
Can't remember
yeah,
his name.
It's just fantasy writing.
The Grove.
Yeah, fantasy. That's weird. He's a proper weirdo, that geezer. Our paths will probably cross through the work at some stage, but I'm going to say it's just strange. The guy's odd. Do you know what? He knows what he's doing. He's clearly an intelligent person, so he knows what he's doing. In the same way that I know what I'm doing when I'm tweeting shit about Arsenal, I just want to wind them up. I want to make their day a little bit worse than it would have been if they hadn't seen my tweet. Anyway, fuck Arsenal. Kind of like this question, Glorious Bastard. Which current Spurs player do you think had the most sex in the past 12 months? I don't know what Eric Dyer's face popped into.
He's
a gorgeous looking bloke. The least amount of sex, I think it's obvious, isn't it? Heung-min Son. I'm not even sure he has a dick.
I don't think he has one either.
Nice, smooth.
Okay, but that's his tiny. He pisses in his balls. I think he has to remove his trousers and pants to have a piss. Otherwise, he just pisses all over himself.
Oh, a little sunny. Nick Wilkinson says, Paratici is the best signing Spurs have made in the Enoch era. Do you agree, T?
No, not yet. But he's looking good.
He is looking very good. He's very good. I think Daniel Levy will be given the credit for bringing him in by the Enoch out people.
Well, nothing's happened yet, so got to wait till see how the next season plays out.
He had a direct involvement in us finishing the top four, despite his ability in the January.
Well, yeah, I think Spook has made this point a number of times that we seem to find our best appointments by accident, and that's kind of what's happened with Conte. I mean, it happened with Yol and with Redknapp to a degree. And obviously, Pochettino was intentional, but it feels like we've stumbled upon Paratici and Conte, and, you know, it's great. I'm all for it.
Yeah. What do you think, Spook?
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. I mean, we can talk him up. he's the most important things that Spurs, you know, we were all waiting for the summer to kick in and the window to open, and Spurs were getting things done before the window was opening, if there were free transfers there. And it's that, then you know that it's no longer just words, they're just pushing ahead. And everything that's coming out of the club, like from the people that are close to the club, like the journalists that work with Tottenham or at Tottenham, you know, the vibe is a completely different thing to what was going on during the season. So that's why you need to be a little bit cautious, because during the season it was like articles about Conte wanting to leave and Spurs in a bit of disarray and trying to, you know, align everyone on the same page. And it just turned out to be a load of bollocks, really. Whereas now we're seeing the output. And yeah, you've done well in January. You brought two players in that literally just, well, it gave us top four in the end, arguably. It kind of consolidated what Conte was trying to do with the team. And now it's about, you know, it's about Spurs having those five players on the bench and being robust enough to rotate. And then at the end of it, I'm sure we're waiting to sign all these players. And right at the end of it, they're just going to announce a little Conte extension or just something to kind of put that cherry on top. Because I think the more hype we get, the more good news stories. I imagine we get to the end of the season. It's like at the end of the summer, it's bought everyone we needed to buy. There's no complaints from anyone. Conte signs on for an extra year, or he just commits himself in a way that makes you grab your balls and think, fucking yes. And then we announce naming rights. Like that would, if Arsenal fans are broken now, like they'd be dead before the season even starts. Because I think Spurs are beginning to evolve into the exact type of beast that we need to be able to fucking fight all the other beasts at the top of the table.
Kyle Upshon says, would you swap this current Conte squad for any other Spurs squad from the past, but you keep Conte as manager?
This is an amazing question. Go for it.
Cheers, it's an amazing question. I'm not going to answer it.
I want to see whether you pick the team I'm thinking of.
I think we're all going to pick the same team, actually.
Oh, God, now I'm under pressure.
Go on, then.
I like the current squad a lot, then. I think it's a lot more balanced than squads in the past. I mean, maybe the last season at White Hart Lane, but I'm going to plump for the current squad.
What would you go, Spook?
Like, logically, T's probably right. Romantically, you would pick the Pochettino team because you think one or two shrewd... That season where we lost four games, for example, and Chelsea were managed by Conte?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just margins, isn't it? I think he probably would have got something out of that team. And the way that he just represents ambition for himself and for the club he's at, we probably would have consolidated on that team and built. So... But the team that I thought of immediately when this question came up was just... probably for legacy reasons, was 1987, because we got to semi-final, FA Cup final, and finished third in the league, were in the title race. I don't know what he would have done with the footballers back then, because if you go back and watch football from the 80s, it's not as great as you remember. Mm. It's great in highlights. It's not great when you're watching a full match.
I was only six then, so I really have no recollection of that season at all.
I've said this before, 87 got me ready for a life as a Spurs fan, because we promised so much and we literally ended up with nothing. And we even had the Holston meme, you know, chucked in with the cup final shirt. So Conte probably would have won the... we lost quite a few at the end of the season. But we could have done the treble with Conte, maybe, in his fantasy.
Alan scored 47 goals that season.
49. Goff was absolutely fucking majestic.
Hang on,
man.
You just skirted over that, though. He scored 49 goals in a calendar year.
Yeah.
Not a calendar year, in a season.
Football season, yeah.
49! That is fucking insane. Like, Kane doesn't get that. That's sort of Messi, Ronaldo levels, right?
I don't think anyone's ever going to reach those numbers again, man, which is great for Alan, but...
That
season was mental, and I just remember him not being able to get it done for England, but the FA Cup final against Coventry, when he scored in the second minute, I thought, here we go, rubbing my hands. And then, you know, the final panned out the way it did. He was, everything he hit just went in.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, unreal that is. Unreal.
He's 33 in the league as well, so it's still a good number.
49 goals. Most some clubs don't score 49 goals in a season. That's exactly. Fucking crazy. What were we just playing mad attacking football then? What was it?
It's 4-5-1. Everything went through Hoddle. And you had Waddle on one side and Galvin, I'm guessing, on the other. Just crazy.
Indeed. hang on, I'm just trying to find this. This is one from Reb, one of my favourites. She says, if you and your missus were going to have a threesome with any Spurs player, would you pick... I think we've done that one before, but you wouldn't want to pick Dyer because he's too handsome and big and strong. You feel inferior next to him. I'd have to go with Son again. He'd be kind to her. He wouldn't sort of slap her about on that.
I'd pick Brian Hill so she can peg him.
Yeah, I was going to go for Oliver Skip. Just so I could look good.
You want to go with someone that you think you could have.
Yeah.
You can't, like I say, you can't have Eric Dyer in there or Romero. Don't know what he's going to do.
Exactly.
might shock you mid session. He might do something mental. Just like we're all at it, and something just picks her up and throws her against the wall, and then picks you up and throws you against the wall. What are you doing? Exactly.
It flips the bed over, just walks out, right. Swinging around.
Zoo says, you're trapped in an elevator with Conte. A few hours pass, he undoes his trousers, stares you in the eye, and starts to poo in the corner. Are you asking him to stop? Are you asking him to stop or just let him crack on?
I think I'd film it and then blackmail him.
What? You wouldn't do that to him.
Yeah, I said, if you're going to leave Tottenham, this video is coming out. You're never leaving us.
He's staring at you in the eyes.
His eyes are great as well.
I'd just let him do it. It's halfway out now, isn't it? You don't want to upset the guy. He's got a lot of good work. He's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, he's in credit.
Yeah,
he's very much in credit.
Absolutely. MD Henry Photography. I think he's probably has a photography company. Well, if you need a photographer, why don't you go and use him at _DRMDH. I don't know, he might be shit or not. Just check him out. You might need a photographer. If you need one, have a look. If you could switch out one member of the current squad for someone who was past Spurs, who would it be and why? So if you're a player of old, who would you bring in? And it has to be realistically doable by modern standards. I guess that's meaning we can afford to buy him.
Damn. I mean, you would have to be either a creative midfielder or someone that can play up front, yeah?
So is he saying we can't take Modric because he would never come to us now? Is that what he's saying? Because Modric,
I thought he meant just from history, yeah.
No, he says it has to be realistically doable by modern standards. So in modern standards, Modric is never coming to Spurs, so it can't be Modric. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. Does he mean that, or does he mean you can't say Blanchflower because there's no way of knowing how Blanchflower's going to play in the modern game? But you could say Gascoigne.
Let's take it back. Make it a bit easier. What player in the last 10 years at Spurs would you bring in to improve Tottenham's current side?
I have a very boring answer to buy guys a bit of time. That'd be Kyle Walker, because we're shit at right back.
Great shout.
And I think Walker would be good, but it's a boring answer. But him.
No, it's not, because those positions, wing backs are so vital to the way we play our football.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. I like that.
Maybe Dembele for Bentancur.
Dembele, that's the answer. Dembele.
Yeah, I'll go for that as well.
Yeah, that's the answer.
You just shut things down, PT.
Yeah, there you go. I think that'll do. I think we've all got to go on and, you know, we've got work to do and stuff. Travis Roberts says, what does Flav say in the Oprah? It's not me. It's my little brother. And he says, come on, you... No, what does he say? Come on, Tottenham. Something like that.
Yeah.
All right, boys. We can do another one of these podcasts next week. I'm actually talking to a guy from Charlie Eccleshare from... The Athletic.
Athletic.
Yeah, doing a little pod of him tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
What he's up to, what's going on in Charlie's life when it comes to reporting on Spurs. Yeah, I will. I'll get it all and then pass it off as my own. So, all right. And, that's been the Fighting Cock podcast. Thank you very much. If you want more content, transfer content, you can join our Patreon. It's patreon.com/thefightingcock. There's good stuff. I'm doing video content now where I look back at classic Spurs games and review them. It's a terrible explanation of what they are. I watched the North London Derby and laughed at Arsenal for about 20 minutes, basically. come and join, support, and get loads of good content in return. All right, take care, everyone.
See you later.
Bye. It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Clock. It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. At Firehouse Subs, a portion of every purchase helps provide life-saving equipment to first responders. We make our subs differently because our subs make a difference. Like our Italian sub, piled high with Genoa salami, pepperoni, and Virginia honey ham. Or our Firehouse meatball sub with zesty marinara, both with melted provolone and Italian seasoning. Your choice, just $6.99 each for a medium and only for a limited time at Firehouse Subs. Tap the banner now to start your order. Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.